I'm going to bring a message this morning. It's called The Unseen War, Part 1. The Unseen War, Part 1. I'm going to be looking at Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. I believe we're living in desperate days. It seems we're in a moral and financial freefall. And no one knows when we will hit the bottom, but everyone is feeling the effect of these days. On one hand, it makes us angry, but at the same time, it makes us sad as we think realistically what lies ahead for all of us. There has never been a nation that has continued on once they have made up their mind to permanently turn their back on their Creator. In times like these, we need to remember that long before there was a United States of America, there was God. It was the God we worship that led us here to these shores just a short 200 years ago. And isn't it interesting? People from all over the world are trying to get here. If we're so bad, why does everybody want to be here? Isn't that interesting? We're so horrible. Everybody wants to come here. That's real interesting. God is the same God who still works in the affairs of man, and He is the God we must continue to put all our faith in. We got to trust Him no matter what. We cannot fully know what lies ahead in the future of our nation, but we do know who holds the future. God does. The one who created you and me holds the future. If you have put your trust in Him for salvation and your eternal security, can you not trust Him in these moments we call time, in the days in which we're living? You say, well, I'm a believer. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You exercised faith and you believed and received Him. So therefore, in these days ahead, you can just keep exercising faith in Him. Amen? God's going to take care of His children. So if you have a copy of God's Word, look at Luke chapter 18. I want us to look through verses 1 through 8. In this passage, you can see a parallel to the times, I believe, in which we're living. The first thing you see is there is a scarcity of faith. When you talk to most people, they're worried right now. People are asking their accountants, should they take the money out of the stock market? Should they take the money out of their 401k and put it into gold? That's the number one thing accountants are being asked. People are worried. People are tightening up because they're wondering, am I going to have enough for me and my children? It says in verse 1, when the Son of Man comes, will He really find faith on the earth? Right now, I'm more and more seeing a lack of faith. Not only, of course, among people who've never believed, but even among God's children, I'm seeing a lack of faith. We've been programmed so long by media that we're not sure what we believe clearly anymore. So in Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8, it talks about a woman who's very persistent in prayer and a woman of great faith, but also a reluctant judge. Listen to this in Luke chapter 18. Look at verses 1. Then He spoke a parable to them. So remember, this is Jesus. He's speaking in a parable. This is something that has not happened. This is a parable illustrating something that Jesus wants illustrated. Then He spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. Verse 2, there was in a certain city a judge, listen to this, who did not fear God and did not regard man. Is that not the days in which we're living? Our leaders, they don't fear God. They don't regard man. Now, there was a widow in that city, and she came to Him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. You think about the word adversary, we usually think of Satan as our adversary. Verse 4, and He would not for a while, but afterward He said within Himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, that's arrogance. What we're seeing is leaders who are arrogant, perverts, same-sex marriage, transgender. That's perversion. That's satanic. That's demonic. And those who say, I believe in that, are without Christ. It's evil. This judge said, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. In other words, I don't believe in her. I don't have regard for man. I don't care about God, but I'm tired of her coming to me over and over again. So I'm going to do something on her behalf so she'll leave me alone. So she was persistent. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. Jesus said, and shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? Verse 8, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? So that is a question for all of us. When the Lord Jesus comes back, is he going to find us? I don't understand it all, but I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I am a child of God, and I choose to walk by faith in these dark days. That's how we're going to have to think. And when he comes back, he'll see you as a person of faith. But according to Scripture, when he comes back, there's an assumption here that Jesus is saying he will not find faith on the earth. People are going to be worried, trusting in a federal government, trusting in money. They're going to be trusting in humans instead of simply trusting in God who created all of the humans. And so this is a parable, and I want us to look at it just a little bit closer here. Will he find faith when he comes? There will be a scarcity of faith. There is against apostasy. You say, what is apostasy? It's an abandoning of what one has believed in as a faith or principles. In other words, people are more and more going to abandon what they've always believed in and known, and they're going to trust other things and other people to try to get them through the day by day. An apostate. They've turned away. They've walked away. We have been seeing this in our nation for years now. Evil will grow worse and worse before Jesus comes again. Men like the unjust judge in this passage will populate the land. Let me read in Luke 17, verses 26 through 27. Listen to this. Jesus speaking. He's speaking about what's going to happen in the future, but this has been 2,000 years ago. We're way into that future. Verse 27, Luke 17. They ate, they drank, they married wives. They were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, and they built. Right now, people say, you guys are saying that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. We don't know the day or hour, but we know he's coming back. And according to Scripture, we see all the signs right now. But look, we're getting up every day. We're going to our jobs and making money and providing food for our family, putting away some money to have a compound interest for the future when we're old and we can't work. We're doing all these things. We're going to the grocery store. Everything's going on as normal. We just went to church Sunday. Everything's normal. That's what people will be thinking. That's what they'll be saying. But then there comes a moment. What do you see when more and more you see apostasy? People simply turning away from what they've always believed and what they've always put their faith in. What do you see? You see no fear of God and no regard of man. Again, in verse 2 of Luke 18, there was a judge in a certain city, a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. That's where we are now in these days. Jesus said this man did not fear God. The unjust judge said of himself, I do not fear God. Right now we're living in a country that is filled with preaching, especially here in the South. There's a lot of people preaching. They're teaching. We have bookstores. You can download apps. The Word of God is so prevalent here. But look what's happening to us. We've got all of this. We have beautiful churches. But what's happening to us? People do not care who God is. They eat, drink, and marry as if nothing is wrong. We have only been parked on the nickel of those founding fathers who were truly godly men and women of great faith, and time has now expired. I'm not saying that everybody was perfect, but I'm saying before we became a society that had the great industry and now technology, people spent more time in the Word of God, talking to one another with the Word of God, because they didn't have so many distractions as we have today. They were a godlier people than we are. I'm not saying they were perfect. We've been parked on their nickel. This faith would be against depravity. There's a scarcity of faith. There's an apostasy. People are walking away from what they believed. And this scarcity of faith, the faith that we grew up with and a younger generation, would be against apostasy and against depravity. Let's think about the times of Lot again. Luke 17, 28 and 29, the times of Lot, Sodom and Gomorrah. Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot. We thought about the days of Noah, what it was like before he finally entered the ark. Now we're seeing what the days of Lot were like. Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. You know what this is saying? In both Noah's days and Lot's days, everything was a normal day. And then it happened. That is the way it's going to be the coming of the Son of Man. One day it's going to happen. Many people think it's real soon. The tragedy in our day is that we glamorize and rationalize immorality, greed, and deceit. This is why we now see faith is scarce in these days. So, there's a scarcity of faith. What we know is right, what we used to believe in, people are moving into apostasy. They used to would have been against depravity, but now they're condoning things. And then it's of a minority, verse 7 of Luke 18. And shall God not avenge His own elect? Notice that word elect. Who cry out day and night to Him, though He bears long with them. In other words, are there people on this earth that are still living and walking by faith? There's a remnant. And my prayer is there's many in here who truly are children of God, and you're just going to keep trusting Him, but you're not going to turn away from His Word and let this world system pull you in the wide road that leads to destruction. You don't want to be on that road. It appears in the days in which we're living, more and more, there seems to be few. I'll be going to northern France. France, a well-developed country for many, many years, is one of the least evangelized countries in the world. They basically say, no, we do not want that. We're going to hand out gospel tracts, get in large crowds of people, and we're going to do evangelism. You see, God always has a remnant. Think about Noah. Think about Lot. God always has someone, and I pray that me and you, we're going to walk by faith and not give in and not be deceived, not move into apostasy. We're going to move forward. In Noah's day and in Lot's day, and it's the same in our day, God has a remnant. But it appears in the days in which we're living right now that there are a few, because there's 8 billion people on earth. But let's remember what our Lord said in Matthew 16, 18. He said, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. God's church is those who prayed and believe and asked Christ to come into their heart. My friend, we are the church. We are the body of Christ. He is the head. And the Bible says,
We are the many members of it. We're all one in Christ Jesus, and He's the head. We are the church. It's not the building. It's the people who believe. The remnant. We are the remnant. We are the elect. We're the remnant. And He said, the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. It doesn't mean it won't roar against us, but it will not prevail. That's from the Word of God. So what do we need to do? We do not need to be scarcity of faith. We do not need to walk in that crowd. We need to trust God. And with the same faith we exercised to ask Him to come into our heart, that same faith, we could keep going through these dark times and leading other people to Christ before it's too late, especially your relatives, sons and daughters. Make sure they believed and received Christ. Give them tracts. Offer to pray with them to receive Christ. Love them. Don't be mad at them. Don't act like you're mad because they won't believe, because that means you're taking it personal that they're not believing. My friend, listen, don't do that. They're rejecting Christ, not you. Don't take it personal. It's between them and God. God with His minority means far more than the majority. The majority of people on this earth are lost without Christ, and they're like this unjust judge, have no regard for man, have no reverence or fear of God. The question is this for all of us. Are you a child of God? Yes or no? Matthew 7:13-14. Listen to this. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. You keeping up with some news maybe? They're showing a lot of large cities, people protesting, people rioting, people raping, murdering, stealing. My friend, listen, we're living in the last days. When you don't get prosecuted for committing a crime, this is lawlessness. This is satanic and it's demonic. And those people are going to spend an everlasting life in hell. They'll never be able to come out. We must help them see by the agape love of God, you must be born again before it's too late. There's confusion. Author of confusion is Satan. And so, we're seeing these things in the days in which we live. These people are on the wide road. We're going to France, northern France, because the majority of France is on the wide road. We're on the narrow road. We are the remnant. We are the elect. We are those, when He comes back, He'll see us, His children, walking by faith. So we're going to go to them and try our best to throw out the life preserver to them. Matthew 7:13-14, enter the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Second point is this. What is real faith? Look again at verse 8 of Luke 18. I tell you that He will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will He really find faith on the earth? This is Jesus speaking. It's almost like He's presupposing that He's not going to find faith on the earth. That's the way it's coming across. Will He really find faith? Real faith always prays. My friend, listen, you don't have to get on the floor and writhe around like a snake when you pray. You don't have to cry out and sound like you're in agony in the flames. Simply pray. And what it is, it's walking, talking, listening to God, unbroken communion. I would advise you to listen to Him more than you talk. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Prayer is not hard. It's not an agony. It's not a performance. My friend, listen. Prayer is simply God's child listening, walking, talking, listening to Him. And I'll tell you something else. The disciples said, teach us how to pray. He didn't say, our King in heaven. He said, our Father in heaven. Who in the world wants to have a communication with a king all day long? You don't. It's paternal. He's already died for us. He's already showed us His love. We need to just walk, talk, listen to Him, and be guided by Him in these days. And so we need to always be praying. Not only that, we need to persist. Now look, don't get persistent with being performing. In other words, trying to prove to God and everybody that you're serious. That's performance. What did it say in verse 5 of Luke 18? It says, "Yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me." You're not going to weary God, and God always loves when you communicate with Him, but you're not going to weary Him. How do you weary an eternal God? This is a parable. He's trying to explain to common people the seriousness of walking by faith. And so, this kind of faith prevails. Verse 8 again, "He will avenge them speedily." 1 John 5:4-5 says, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world." You know what this is saying? Here's the truth. Christ overcame the world. He died for sin, was buried, was raised on the third day. He was raised by God on the third day. He overcame the world, the flesh, and the devil, sin. And we're in Him and He's in us. We're actually already overcomers, whether we realize it or not. John says, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." Keep walking by faith in these days ahead. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Believe that? You can't trust in all of humanity. You have to say, first and foremost, I trust God. This is how we overcome the world, flesh, and the devil. God's faithfulness. Jesus said in John 16:33, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation." We're seeing it all around us. He said this over 2,000 years ago. He said, "In the world you will have tribulation." We're seeing it now, so God's children should not be surprised. When everything falls apart and implodes, you can hold up your Bible in love and say, "Hey, look, God's already told us this is going to happen." And it is. Now let's get together and find out, what do we do next? We are the remnant. We're still here. He says that we have His peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but then He said, "Be of good cheer." Chris, how can we be of good cheer if everything implodes? Because God already knows. He has a remnant, which is you and me. You hold His hand like a child to the Father and walk with Him, and don't walk in a scarcity of faith. Pray, live, move, and have your being in Him right through the middle of it, because He is in absolute control. Sometimes we'll find ourselves moving against a strong current, which is what we're experiencing now. But remember, He is the great I Am. He said this about Himself. He said, "I am." He did not say, "I was." He did not say, "I will be." He said, "I am." He truly is everything that you need. Jesus said, "There is nothing that can stand in the way of this kind of faith." Luke 17:5-6, "And the apostles said to the Lord, 'Increase our faith.' So the Lord said, 'If you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you.'" Jesus is saying here, it is not so much of the quantity of faith, but of its quality. It is not the question of getting more faith, but using the faith that you have. Last thing is this: how do you experience this? Verse 8 again, "I tell you that He will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will He really find faith on the earth?" How do you experience this faith on earth? In Noah's day, it was evil. In Lot's day, it was evil. In our day, it is evil. All right. We need to do like Noah. He built the ark while everybody laughed at him. He kept doing it. Lot, even his own family, wouldn't listen to him. When God said, "Noah, go into the ark," he didn't hesitate. He went into the ark. When He told Lot, "Go out of the city," he went out of the city, and God destroyed after that. Be Noah, be Lot. be a faithful child of God right in the midst of all this. Just keep going.
We must say, I will live and walk by faith. Physically, we just continue moving forward. Relationally, we continue doing what we're doing. The same thing happened in Noah's day and Lot's day. Everybody kept eating, drinking, planting, moving along as if everything was normal, and then it all suddenly happened. So continue to live. It's okay. But you know, at any moment, the Lord Jesus may come back. I'm going to be ready, and I'm going to be found faithful. So materially, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But remember what James said in chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. He says, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. You and I really don't know what will happen tomorrow, but guess what? We know who does know. We're in Him. He's in us. We walk by faith in Him who knows everything. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. So, I believe Jesus is coming. Will he find faith on the earth? Will you be among the faithful? Amen.